On the other side of Texas, history has its place. On the other side of Texas, justice rules the case. They don't like it, they don't love it. They say we're all wrong, but on the other side of Texas halls, we roll on.
Hey there, howdy. Thanks for tuning in and telling friends that you hang out right here on the other side of Texas. We just got put up on Spotify, got our credentials. So anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us, and appreciate all you who listen to podcasts as well as those of you who listen live. If you're listening live, you've got questions as we roll along, 806-745-5800. You can text those questions in. Your host, Jay West Texas Leeson, as always, broadcasting from the studios where Buddy Holly became famous, Waylon became famous, and Raven On is what we do. And then we do it here on the program in the Racer Car Wash Studios. Racer Car Wash, voted Lubbock's best wash 5 years running. Stop into one of five convenient locations across Hub City for the best wash around, guaranteed. Check out your best location at racerwash.com. I told you right after it went down. I told you so. That's my Randy Travis. I told you so. Beto isn't just running. Beto O'Rourke isn't just running. He's full sprint, full speed ahead running. This from Politico. It's Trump versus Beto in border wall showdown. The president is set to rally in the hometown of his likely 2020 rival, and O'Rourke plans to hit back at a protest of his own. Dateline El Paso, the showdown between Donald Trump and Beto O'Rourke over the president's border wall is about to get real. The president was en route to O'Rourke's hometown Monday for a campaign rally touting his long-sought border wall, but Beto O'Rourke is set to headline at a counter rally at a sports complex across the street, setting the stage for the first in-person clash of 2020 between Trump and potential Democratic rival. Story goes on. The call and response in Washington and West Texas, far West Texas. That's the judge. Let me turn you up, Judge. The what? Yeah, you're on.
El Paso is the cul-de-sac of Texas.
Okay. Well, commentary as we roll along. The call and response in Washington is... I don't know if you were on or not, Judge. Why don't you check it out one more time?
Hello.
Okay. We'll figure that out here in just a second. The cul-de-sac of West Texas, the judge says. The call and response in Washington and West Texas crystallized the partisan battle over immigration before Trump landed in this border city, staring down a potential second government shutdown. Over border security, Trump picked this heavily Democratic and Latino region to redouble his call for a border wall, an issue that propelled him to the presidency and remains at the center of his reelection campaign. So here's some local intelligence. First of all, I believe it was Greg Abbott who was able to recoup all of his losses there on the in his election in El Paso, just on the I-27 corridor alone between Lubbock and Amarillo. So I wouldn't just hold El Paso out to be this beacon that is, it's true that it is Democratic, but it can be overcome. But all those folks who said, you know what, Beto O'Rourke is not going to run, he's just going to sit back, maybe go into private business, whatever he's going to do, the guy is running, and he's got to run. He absolutely has to run. Whenever you see the turnout that he generated, he's going to do his best. And I have a hard time in my heart of hearts seeing that a Joe Biden or one of these no names can overcome Beto O'Rourke in the presidential election. And part of the reason that I think he's running is because he helped turn 12 House seats in Texas, which is no small thing, and win a couple of seats in the Texas Senate. And that's where I want to go next. This, per the Quorum Report, Senate sources, Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, who presides over the Senate and 31 senators, may seek to pass blocker bills, making it possible to bring SB 2 to the floor with a simple majority. This is how this breaks down. This is a story right now in Texas. Right now, in order to get SB 2 to the floor, which would put appraisal caps, and we do have Judge Curtis Parrish, Lubbock County judge, in studio right now. Now I think we've got you fixed there, Judge. You want to say hello?
Hello. Yeah, here we are.
There you are. The voice of your Texas Tech Red Raiders. The way it works right now is that in order for a bill to come to the floor, you have to have 19 votes. Dan Patrick could usurp that because there are many who believe he doesn't have 19 votes to get SB 2 to the floor. SB 2, which would put a cap on rollback rate elections at currently 2.5%. He doesn't have the votes in the Senate, and that's on cities and counties. Again, we'll get in with the judge here in just a moment on that. But he doesn't have the votes to get to the floor. So what does Dan Patrick do? He makes it to be a blocker bill. What's a blocker bill? A blocker bill, pay no attention to the name, is usually what they call a rosebush bill. It's about landscaping at the Capitol. It's about things of little or no consequence. But Dan Patrick could move, as presiding officer of the Senate, that SB 2, which is a monumental bill, maybe a generational bill, could move it to a blocker bill status, to landscaping status, in order to get past Kel Seliger and some others in order to get it to the floor, and then he could just pass it with a simple majority once it gets to the floor. Something Dan Patrick would do. I hereby forward, and Judge, you were simply just here when I said this. You did not say it yourself. I am going to start referring to Dan Patrick as Lord Dan Patrick on this program. It's whatever you wish, my lord, whatever you wish, because it's totally contrary to the culture of and the legacy of the Texas Senate to totally skirt around members of that Senate in order to get done a piece of agenda. He said it's always up to the Senate as to what we vote for. Well, Dan Patrick is not for the Senate in this regard. And another story that we'll get to tomorrow on the program, Dan Patrick's lake house, a million-plus house, guess what his property taxes have done that yours have not done? They've gone down. Special treatment there? Maybe he lives in a flood zone? Who knows? Get into that. Lubbock County Judge Curtis Parrish coming up just here after the break. You want to give us the outro here? You're a radio pro.
What do you want me to say?
Just stay tuned for me after the break.
Stay tuned for Jay Leeson right after this.
And County Judge Curtis Parrish. Get in with him here. Yeah, full conversation about the Expo Center, about the rollback rate elections, and about roads. What are we going to do about those roads?
Where we're going, we need roads. That's kind of a play on them.
I like that. Yeah. Coming right back after the break. Quickie break. Stick right with us here on the other side.
You listen with a grin to the sound of hailstones hitting tin. It's loud enough, you got to yell.
Here he is in studio, voice of Lubbock County and also your Red your Texas Tech football Red Raiders. He is County Judge Curtis Parrish, right here on the program. Appreciate you coming on, bud.
Got a little applause meter. That's always good.
Got your bow tie on and everything.
Got my bow tie on. This has been a good day, Jay. We've had a commissioner's court meeting today.
Yeah, tell me about your day.
Well, it's been,
tell everybody it's been a about long your
time.
Day.
No, we've had it. We met today. Commissioner's court met today. We meet on every second and fourth Mondays, and so of course this was commissioner's court day. I guess the big story of the day is that we passed to the voters to approve an election in May for a $99.64 million bond package for our transportation improvement plan. And that was kind of, I guess that was kind of the big story.
Say passed to the voters, let's
we agree.
The,
you bet.
Prepositions.
Sure, we agreed to put it on the ballot. We agreed to create a ballot that the voters can vote on in May to decide whether or not they want the bond package or not.
Okay.
So it's
right.
Going to be up to them. Ultimately, it's and I'm good with this, and I'll tell you why. I mean, anytime you're going to be pulling money out of people's pocket, I think they need a voice in that. And so, you know, there was always a mechanism to go out and get these as what we call CO bonds, where we don't need voter approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
certified obligation
absolutely against that we need the voters of Lubbock County to weigh in on this. Now, what I am very confident of, based on the way we're structuring this bond out over the next 20 years, that we will not have a tax increase to accompany that. And people have asked, so how do you sell $99 million worth of bonds and not have a tax increase? Well, the answer is pretty simple, that we're only going to sell the bonds as we need them. I mean, there's no way we could do $99 million worth of construction today. There's no way.
Of logistics?
Logistics, and we just don't have the personnel. I mean, you'd have orange cones all over the county, and we don't want that. What we want to do is focus on the projects that we can get done and get started and get done. And
What duration of time?
This particular Tier 1 projects that we're talking about is over the next 7 to 10 years.
Okay.
So what we're able to do then is kind of spread those bonds out using our current growth as well, and spreading those out and only buying bonds or only issuing bonds whenever we have construction projects due. We're able to do this without a tax increase, and I'm very confident in that. And I think that's prudent management. I think it's good fiscal government, and also by should the voters come alongside us in May and pass this, we'll also be able to go out and capture money from the state, from the MPO, and get that money, matching money, into Lubbock County, and turn our $99 million into possibly $200 million. And so, to me, that is a prudent investment that we're asking for Lubbock County voters to vote on
the
in May.
The talk 2 years ago, Judge, was that in order to extend I-27, all MPO money would have to be concentrated on I-27. What does this do to I-27 then, the proposal to extend it to the border?
What we're talking about is MPO money that's dedicated to Lubbock County. And
okay.
So that wouldn't really affect it. Now what is going on right now that does have an effect on that is Loop 88. There's MPO money that's going into the construction mm-hmm. of Loop 88. That's just beginning. But what we're talking about with this particular bond package is just county roads. Roads that are maintained, built and maintained by Lubbock County. And there is money available from the state through Proposition 1 money, through Proposition 7 money, that we're able to go out and capture so that we can turn our money into, we can double it, maybe sometimes, maybe even depending on the project, maybe a 3-for-$1 amount that we could get from the state. Mm-hmm. And I think that's prudent fiscal conservative management. And I'm hoping that the people of Lubbock will go alongside us. And you know, when I was campaigning and we were talking about this, mostly people want to know, do you have a plan? What is your vision? And what I'm very, very proud of is this comprehensive transportation plan that the staff has been working on through the ISDs in Lubbock County, through all the communities in Lubbock County, and identifying where the needs are in Lubbock County. And finally, Jay, coming up with a comprehensive plan for the county of Lubbock for the next 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And this is vitally important, and especially if you consider that we stand on the shoulders of giants who 25, 40 years ago had visions of roads in Lubbock County that people said, you're crazy. You're crazy to put a Loop 289 out here. There's nothing out here. Nothing but cotton fields. But somebody had a vision, and they said, you know, if we build this out here, this is where the growth is going to go, and we're going to need this road. And I'm telling you, where we're going, we need roads. And so I'm asking the people of Lubbock County to come alongside us and partner in with us as we take care of the needs. These are not wants, by the way. These are needs, and these are safety needs. And so we're going to build good, safe roads for the people of Lubbock County for the next 20, 25 years.
So out of deference to you, last time you were on the show, I didn't air some big Lubbock County's pursuing a bond.
Correct. And we talked about that because the decision had not been made, and today was the decision-making day.
Yeah. So give folks an idea in Lubbock County about where these roads will be, where the major construction of $99 million would be.
Well, again, it's comprehensive. That means it's countywide. So we've got, and I will say right off the bat, the bulk, maybe $35 million of it, will be Woodrow Road.
Okay.
And everybody that we've talked to knows that this road and the feeder roads that go into it, you know, I'm just as concerned about the north-south roads that feed into Woodrow Road as I am Woodrow Road itself. So we're talking about some of those feeder roads. We're also talking about roads in shallow water, roads in Idaloo, roads in Slayton, in the county areas as well. This comprehensive package, this comprehensive transportation plan, is made up of upgrades, meaning that we'll go from a dirt road to a caliche, or a caliche road to a two-lane paved road, mm-hmm. a two-lane paved road to a five-lane road, etc. And they're also looking at, and this was for me the most important part of this plan, looking at safety needs. We've got roads out there that are unsafe to travel on. We've got intersections out in the county that are unsafe right now. And so this construction money goes first to our safety needs so that our roads will be safe. And we're getting this input from our ISDs who have to go out and run buses along these county roads. And they see how dangerous these roads every single day. So for me, this is a safety issue as well. And alongside of public safety, we've got Sheriff's Department personnel. I've got EMS personnel that can't get to certain areas of the county because the roads are not passable for them. And so if they can't do that, then people are going to lose their lives. And so this is a very important roads package just for the safety part. And we can talk about convenience and we can talk about economics, but for public safety, we need to do something today.
Something that you had foresight to put together, because you waited how many months between the time that you won till the time you assumed office?
Well, the primary was over in May, and I knew that I did not have an opponent for the November election. So I've been intimately involved in working on this
putting
and with
together
this
an impact
since May.
Comprehensive plan.
That's correct.
Yeah. And you've heard from the new term now is stakeholders. That's what everybody says.
Stakeholders is the term.
Yeah.
But it's our independent school districts and our communities in
so
Lubbock County.
So what are they going to get in Abernathy? Don't let my antelope show.
Well, there's actually some identifiable projects up in the northern part of Lubbock County that Abernathy Independent School District has identified as being a very unsafe road that is part of our Tier 1 bond package.
Let's give folks an idea of what unsafe road is. Here's what I was told whenever I was driving around the farm-owned Chevy Big Ten back in the late 90s. The only way you'll know if somebody's coming, and the only right of way in this intersection is if you see dirt flying up behind the vehicle. That qualifies as unsafe, right?
I would think if that's all you're depending on, you better hope that we continue to stay in a drought because yeah. Because if that's the only way you're going to tell when somebody's coming up to an intersection, yes, so those are unsafe.
The big news here on the program, 99.64 million.
That's correct.
For roads in Lubbock County.
And for a bond election that will be May the 4th, so the people of Lubbock County will decide whether or not we're going to have this or not. All we did this morning, sounds like I'm minimizing it, but what we've done this morning was to approve the election and call for the election in May.
Okay. All right. Let me take a note for that in my little nifty iPad. Call for an election. Let's switch over to Expo Center. News coming out last week that the controller, some people call it the comptroller, but I'm a Bob Bullock enthusiast, so I'll call it the controller.
I am the controller.
That's right.
That's my best Bob Bullock.
Use
that's
the
about all I got.
Old English. Well, say controller,
you're fired. I'm the controller.
You're fired.
Yeah.
$24 million. Some expecting up to $50 million for this facility. Judge, what can we get built for $24 million? And I'm going to ask you this in a two-part manner. When will more private money come in to bump that up closer to $50 million?
So the answer to that question, when will more money come in? It will be before we turn dirt. And I will not begin any phase of construction until we have the money in the bank.
Until the money for what exactly?
What exactly is right? You know, back in November, leading up to the November vote, that $50 million was floated out more like a wish list. They wished they could build this facility, and they went and got some preliminary bids on based on a X amount of seat arena built out here with this barn attached to it, with this warm up arena attached to it. What would that cost? And they got some numbers, and it was about $50 million, and so that's what they presented to the people of Lubbock County. But they also said that we're going to raise this money using the HOT tax, or the HOT, the hotel occupancy tax, and also with the car rental tax. Now, the kink in this is that since the election, we've gotten a preliminary word that we cannot collect on the car rental tax.
You're welcome. I took a lot of heat for putting that out there. Federal Aviation Act of 2018
mm-hmm.
said
right.
that you can only use car rental taxes for what's going in at the airport. And I reported that, and well, I was the bad guy there.
You're a bad guy?
For like a week. Like, I was trying to rain down on this parade, but I was only put... this is what I hate, Judge. I cannot stand when... For me, the intrinsic value wherever you live is the public trust. You got to have the public trust. And if people find out about this after the fact, then you've got a real problem on your hands where there's a conspiracy theorist every three doors down your block. And I didn't want people to find out after the fact, so I put it out there. Hey, look, the FAA Act says you can't do this anymore. I don't think we can do car rental money. Rankled a lot of people, but at least it got out there in front of. But even then, it was, we can still get a lot of money out of the HOT tax. But go ahead.
Well, and what we're going to get out of the HOT tax, what we found out is from our bond council, is about $24.6 million, just a little under 25.
How much money do the bonding agents get in this process? Do you know what percentage? Sorry to put you on the hot seat.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm glad you did. We have them on retainer anyway as bond counsel, so this is just kind of part of their duties for Lubbock County is to bring us the estimates that based on what is currently collected, and based on also a future growth, a very conservative, because they have to go out and sell these bonds, and so they want to make sure that that growth that they're anticipating is a conservative growth. We do know that Lubbock County is growing, and I think it's easy to go out and sell that. Look at where we've been 5 years ago. Look at where we are today. And so can you now project where we're going to be 30 years from now? Because that's what we're talking about, is a 30-year bond. And so based on that, and also based on not putting every single penny of tax collection into the bond, into the debt reduction, we're going to have to hold some back in reserve. And so that being said, that's what drops that number down to 24.7.
But that's on a 20-year bond.
30.
Is that on 30?
Yes, sir.
Okay. $24 million on... My understanding, and it's also not just at 20.
It's also not counting on any money from the car rental. And it's also not counting on any private money. And therein lies probably the key, because we know that there is a 501c, a private group out there that's willing to go out and raise money. And if they're willing to go out and raise money, and if they put in... you know, $20 million. Let's say they go out and raise $20 million. Then we have a public-private partnership, and now we've got a $46 million facility, and that's probably closer to more what their reality is.
When do you want to see this thing come to a conclusion? Have you put a date on, if you're going to raise this money, raise it by this date so we can make a decision here?
I've not put a timeline on that yet. We're still talking with them and still trying to. See, we do have the luxury of just a little bit of time, but what I'm hoping to do is at least within the next 2 months come up with a definite plan going forward, whether it is and working with this 501c3, finding out exactly how much money that they will be able to go out and raise in a private partnership.
Judge Curtis Parrish with us here. What, in your mind, constitutes a luxury of time? Like, is there... what amount of time do you want to give them? And I'm talking about the 501c3. How long do you need here? Have you given them a date that you want them to get back with you on?
No.
Private
donations? No, I mean, they've already mentioned and told us that they've got $10 million. Then they've got the pledges for $10 million. Obviously, we want to see this if we're going to do this public-private partnership. We're going to see a little bit definite more than just kind of a pledge. We need to make sure that we've got that money in the bank so that we can begin the process of construction.
Matt Dautre, just the intrepid reporter from the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, just entering the studio. He's got a cool $10 million. Just put Matt down for $10 million.
He can write a check, I think.
Yeah, I think he...
I think, Jay, you could write a check.
He could clear that today. Yeah, we aren't ready to go in with the Leeson Expo Center just quite yet, Judge. Tell me, let's switch from that. So, well, before we switch from that, when do you want to know? Like, is there a date in mind that you have where you
want to
know?
Well, like I said, within the next month or two, we're going to have to make the decision on how we're going to go forward with this. I don't think at $24.6 million we get a facility that I think would serve Lubbock County's needs for the next 40, 50 years. So we're going to have to look at these private partnerships. We're going to have to look at maybe revenue sources from other entities, maybe partnering with other communities or partnering with a major university here in town. Yeah. That's one possibility. There's lots of possibilities.
But, Judge, and I'll just say this, that I've talked with officials in San Angelo, the fifth largest rodeo venue in the country, who say that this is their top moneymaker. Whenever you're going out looking for bonds for roads, it has to be in the back of your mind that there's huge upside to this expo center.
There is.
You have
quality of life, et cetera, all of those things. You're right. There's a huge upside to it. And because we're using, as a governmental entity, we're using the HOT, ideally what we want to do is build a facility that will increase our hotel occupancy so that we can get more hotel occupancy tax. And that's really kind of the major point of this, not just to give the people of Lubbock County a quality facility that for their quality of life, but also build something that will draw in visitors, because in therein lies the way we're going to fund this building.
Terry asking, and you can modify this question, but what the hell are we going to do about this dump out by the airport? Is that a city issue? Is that a county issue?
That's a right now, in my opinion, that's a state of Texas issue. That's a they're the ones that licensed that facility, and I believe it should be up to them.
TCEQ.
TCEQ. I don't know where we're at with that right now, but it's going to be a monster cleanup operation, whether it's city,
cost?
County, or
What's
state, or
cost
federal
to clean
government.
That up? I've heard. 30? I've heard 60 million?
I'm like you. I've not heard officially what it would cost.
Have
but,
you heard
but
anything, though, Trey?
I can't think of any numbers, okay. No. But right. I know every legislative session, it's part of the city's main priorities.
Yeah.
And it's on their list of priorities this year, too. So they're going to be trying to get state money.
Okay.
I know the county, I think the county and the city don't really want to touch it.
Well, it's an expensive operation. Let's
I mean,
just,
that would be like 2/3 of your bond package to clean that place up.
Well, it would be Woodrow Road to clean it up.
Yeah,
so
at
there
least,
you go.
At the very
so
least.
We can.
And then whatever it costs Abernathy.
Yeah, well. Again, you can write us a check, Jay. You can make it out to Lubbock County.
Okay.
We'll be okay.
I'll talk to Mrs. Leeson about that.
Would you
that.
Please?
Let's close out with this. We're bleeding in some Dotre time. Dotre's a big favorite on the program. I've got somebody texting in saying it's going to be $8 million to clean it up. So numbers are pretty much everywhere on that. SB 2, House Bill 2, Senate Bill 2, House Bill 2 would put a cap on, right now it's 8%. You can only raise 8%. Any more than that would go to a rollback rate election. SB 2 and House Bill 2 right out of the gate are at 2.5%. Judge, what are your feelings on this legislation? Do you feel the feel I get from people is that it puts local representation at odds with state representation, and there's going to be a huge chasm that begins to divide those two. What are your feelings on it?
Well, 2.5%, and again, it's formulatic too. So, you know, that 2.5 is based on growth that's over here, and you know, not on new property, et cetera. But roughly, I think you're right. I think for simplified purposes, we're lowering that trigger election rate from 8 to 2.5. I've always said all along, if those who want tax reform, you have to have spending reform right alongside it, or else they'll both fail. So if you want spending reform, you have to have tax reform. So what I would like to see come out of the legislature is a spending reform bill. If they're going to do a tax reform bill, we need to see a spending reform bill. Ideally, I don't have a problem with 2.5%. That's not a problem for us here in Lubbock County. And I think it's feasible for us. We're okay with that. If it's 2.5%, all we're asking is if we need to raise taxes more than 2.5%, will you, the voters, come alongside us? And I think, you know, and I'll go back to exactly what I've said all along. If we're going to reach in and pull money out of your pocket, you ought to have a say in that. And so I don't have a problem with the cap. Now,
Judge, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Be candid with me.
I am.
Let's say that China comes in and we start a cotton trade war. Okay? Next week. And cotton being a $5 billion industry within 100 miles of Lubbock. China comes in, puts together a trade war, and you don't get the revenues that you need at that point. And then folks like Empower Texans and others come in and want to make an example of Lubbock County with outside influence. You're okay with it at that point? I tend to think you would not be okay with outside influences coming
in. No, I'm
in
not. I think what you're talking about is two different issues.
How so?
You asked me about the 2.5% cap for a trigger election on 2.5, and I'm okay with that. Now, all this, what I'm not okay with And it's that your scenario doesn't scare me as much as the scenario of the Texas legislature putting unfunded mandates back to the county.
Okay.
So requiring us to provide, you know, a multi-million dollar service to the people of Texas and not give us the money to pay for that.
Indigent defense.
Indigent defense is one. They're about $50 million in arrears on that, the state of Texas. They come through with
facilities for 17-year-olds who are juveniles.
That to me is more of the nightmare scenario.
Okay.
Than the one that you've come up with.
I didn't have to try real hard.
Well, but I didn't have to try real hard either, because the Texas legislature is considering that those two very things that I've just talked about, mm-hmm. to raising the age of accountability from 17 to 18, that will nearly trigger us to do a $5 to $6 million upgrade to our juvenile justice center.
Why not just put that on your bond too, Judge?
Is there anything else you want to...
That's a non-appreciative look. I just got no trick and vouch for it.
Well, I think...
But that's exactly what you had to do with the juvenile justice in the first place.
But my point is that tax reform needs to come with spending reform, and they need to come hand in hand. The governor has mentioned that he's all for this 2.5 cap, but he's also mentioned that he is against unfunded mandates. And so... I'm going to hold him to both.
SB3? Where's House Bill 4?
I don't know where it is.
Okay. No. Judge, it's always good to have you on.
It's good to be
here. Candid discussion. One day we're going to Facebook Live you tying your bow tie right here on the program.
Well, it's about time to untie it and loosen the collar up a little bit.
We're going to let you do that. You just listen to me and Dotray on your way home.
I will do that very thing. Thank you, Jay.
County Judge Curtis Parrish right here. Appreciate the time, Judge.
Thank you. Appreciate it as well.
Get into a quickie break. Get Matt Dotray right here on your other side of Texas.
Come over, take a seat. Knock that chill off your bones. Got food on the fire. Can I get you some to eat? Make yourself at home. I'm looking out, searching for something that I still care about. I'm looking up to the sky. Fire on the mountain, gonna let it burn so high.
Now is the time on Monday when we go to our intrepid Lubbock Avalanche Journal reporter, Matt Dotray.
Hello.
And see what's going on. Matt Dotray, how are you?
I'm good. This is three Mondays in a row.
Well, we're going to try to make you a regular here.
All right, sounds good.
This is what the people think of you. They like to give you the applause. No, it's good. It's good to hear from... And I always thought this about Max Lucado, Judge still in studio. Judge, if you're going to hang around, feel free to chime in as we go along here. Max Lucado, a good Church of Christ.
Amen.
Max Lucado, Christian author, and... you know, once I heard Max Lucado preach, I was disappointed because of how good he writes. But people can listen to you and say, not only is he write well, he's also articulate.
That's very nice of you to say.
It's good for people to have a grasp on Matt Dotray. So, Matt, tell us on a Lubbock Monday what you've been looking at and what you're interested in right now.
Well, today, I think I've been hanging out with the county judge for most of the day. They're definitely keeping me busy, both with, of course, the bond election. And then there's just kind of some discussions with the medical examiner's office. I don't know if you asked the judge about it.
No, we didn't. Go ahead.
Well, according to information that came last week, the DA's office is just asking the Texas Rangers to look into, I believe the quote was, any and all issues that have... kind of been trickling or being rumored to take place that are taking place at the medical
like
examiner's
what?
Office.
Don't be vague with me.
Well,
like,
I mean, I'm kind
there
of being
dead
vague
bodies and people don't know the names.
Well, because I haven't gotten anything confirmed yet either.
But what have you heard?
I'm being
why
vague.
Did you get involved in it?
Well, okay. Well, it all kind of came to a head at the county commissioner's meeting today. I'm not sure who put it on the agenda, but they were scheduled. And Judge, again, if you want to hop in any time, please do. They were scheduled to talk about it because the county has been contracting out medical examiner services with NAG Pathology Labs based out of California since, I believe, August, mid-August of last year. And since that time, there has been significant turnover. I was just told today that, well, first, let me go ahead and say that the previous medical examiner, Dr. Natarajan, retired around the same time. And since that time, just one person under Dr. Natarajan is currently there.
Out of how many?
Around 10.
So what are you telling me? Like, this is a turnover of stripes or an Alsips?
So listen, there
Alsips generally retain people longer, but which one goes?
There are some serious questions that are being brought up. I guess let me just talk on two. One of them is that people are performing autopsies who shouldn't be performing autopsies. Again, how I mentioned that NAAG is based out of California. There's questions about whether or not these people are licensed in the state of Texas. That's one.
To determine how they died.
Yes.
Which we could impact life insurance policies and... you're blowing my mind right now, right. Dotre. Well, this is why we have you on.
Well, put your seatbelt on, because here's number two. Oh. there's also
don't die in Lubbock County. Well, that's my new bumper sticker.
Well, and then, so the former employees... Again, I haven't gotten this... you know, confirmed. I'm just asking around. NAG didn't get back to me today. They just, this situation that this former employee described is just that of just lazy autopsies. You know, if someone comes in and they're overweight, for example, then they just say, oh, well, overweight, heart failures, that's it. And then they just kind of diagnose it from there. Again, these are accusations that I have not confirmed by numerous sources, but these are according to two former employees. And then one is that...
But two former employees, are they willing to go on the record? Or?
Right, yeah. They gave me their name. So there was just a little bit of...
Wow.
There was just a
so
little
they got,
bit
So they got stake in the game.
Overlap. Right, well, they have... They were fired when NAAG took over medical examiner services.
For telling the truth?
No, just they wanted to do their own thing. They brought a bunch of people in from California, is my understanding. And it's just kind of new services. And the county did this. The previous county commissioners, before Judge Parrish was sworn into office, they did it as kind of a cost-saving measure.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Judge, you got anything to say here? I'm glad you stuck around. I could die, and they'd be like,
well,
Fatso had a heart attack, when really I got shot in the back by my neighbor who started me piling up trash on Sundays in the dumpster.
I cannot comment on ongoing investigations.
Okay, what else do we
That's about the gist of it. So it's being investigated. It's being looked at as it seems like it should, and a third-party independent... group is coming in, and of course the DA.
A third party group.
Just the Texas Rangers is what I'm talking about.
Kind of an independent. That's a hell of a third party group.
Right, for sure. Okay. And of course, right. Yeah. I mean, this is extremely. They need to sort this out, obviously.
So the Rangers are here looking at this very issue.
That is my understanding. Yes.
Hey, they'll get those confirmations real fast.
Right.
Are you in contact with the Rangers?
No.
Should you get?
But that's
going to
be
yes.
This is you're we're talking about what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the week. Yes.
Wow. So there could be some wrongful deaths that are out there.
Right.
How many do you think?
I'm not sure. They haven't been here that you know
since
last August.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's talk that. I mean, the current, and again, I've reached out to his office. I haven't heard back, but the acting chief, Dr. Andrews, is only here a few days a week, is what they're claiming. So,
where does he come in from?
Yeah, I think he does kind of his own private. This NAAG is just kind of private contractor.
Wait, he comes in from California for a couple of days a week?
Yes, that's my understanding.
What kind of sideshow operation are we running here? I mean, Really?
It's absolutely, it's really serious stuff.
There's a lot on the line for a lot. Like, yeah. I used to be mad at Rager Dice. Now I'm getting mad about this.
Right. And it all just kind of blew up, I guess.
How much today. Would it cost to make this right? To get a competent group in? That's not like the lowest bidder. Do you know?
I don't know what the year
Judge, do you
is,
know?
No.
You can't comment on ongoing.
I can't comment on any ongoing investigation.
That's going to be the new cut for you. Okay. I'm really glad that you stuck around. I'm laughing, but really, I'm kind of furious. Like, really? This is where we're going to cut bucks?
For sure.
Man. Okay. Woo! Nice lead there. I'm glad we didn't talk on the... That's what my monologue would have been on.
Happy Monday. Happy to be here.
Okay, so what else you working on, bud? Golly, as I wipe, like, the mad laugh tears out of my eyes. Go ahead.
So, and then today, just working on, the bond election.
Hold
which
on,
of course...
just today. People are being told that they died for reasons that they didn't die for. That's what families are being told?
No, this hasn't...
No, but you just said overweight, so I'm probably a good 20 or 50 pounds overweight. They're going to tell my wife I died of a heart attack? When really I died of, like, I don't know, the weed eater hitting an...
Well, listen, these are, I would imagine... artery or something? I would imagine these are very smart people. No, the picture I painted is just kind of your most basic... example. I'm sure if you were working with a weed eater and it chopped off your foot and you bled out, I'm sure that they would notice your foot is gone. They would die
or blue
that way, right?
So, okay, but Judge, at the very least, give me this. It's something that you're aware of.
Yes, we are very aware of it. We are getting reports as they would potentially come in, but we're not.
Is Dotre behind or ahead of the story?
I'm very much behind. Thanks.
Go ahead, Judge.
But what has
hearing of it is because you raised it.
What has happened is that this investigation is now in the hands of the Texas Rangers, and so we're going to be awaiting their results to us. I don't know how long that will take. I have no idea. And they're not going to give us any timeline as to when they're going to release the results of their investigation. In the meantime, while they're doing their job, we're not going to comment.
Okay. At least give me this, Judge. What happens first? Private donations get to $15 million, or you get the Rangers report on the autopsies? I'll take that. Go ahead, Dotre.
I'm good. I'm
done. I'm glad I'm such a congenial host that you guys will still come to the show later.
I've been waiting for you to get me in trouble, and now...
You aren't in trouble.
Here's the day. Thanks.
Okay. What else are you working on? Go ahead. You just said it, but reiterate it so I can get my mind back on track.
Right. Then this week, doing the bond election, and then I need to write. I haven't written about the Expo Center yet, so that's something that I need to pursue. These numbers from the comptroller's office at the county, you were talking with the judge about this on my way in. So I think your listeners.
I can comment on that.
Yeah, sure you can. So,
and then I guess Judge, I guess I have a question for you. So
sure,
during the commissioner's meeting. Today, I guess, it didn't pass unanimously. It was a 3-2 vote.
Mm-hmm.
Those who voted no weren't necessarily, my understanding, they weren't against the bond in and of itself, just the timing.
The bond election.
The time, yes.
Bring the rest of us in on what
right,
you
the timing,
two were talking
right,
about.
Right, the timing of the bond election, Commissioner Chad C. actually made a motion to table it until a later date, which... In talking with people afterwards, he was saying, well, we should wait until November. So, really...
Who else voted against it?
Jason Corley. Okay. And he also said they wanted to get a budget cycle under their belt. And I'm quoting him when Jason said that. I guess, Judge, kind of what went into your thinking, the difference between having it in May and having it in November?
Well, really, my particular point of view is that all the issues that are before us for the May election will be before us for the November election, and we've dealt with past commissioners' courts that have continually kicked the can down the road, literally kicked the can down the road, and so the best time, there's two best times to plant a tree, and the first one's 20 years ago, and the second one is today. And so we do have a comprehensive plan. I think if we did not have a plan that was approved unanimously by the court going forward for the next 20, 25 years, I would say it would be a little too soon. But now that we've got the plan, we know exactly where our needs are, not our wants, but our needs, and we know what our needs are going to be in the next 10, 20 years, then the time to go forward is today. Also, because of the opportunity that the Texas legislature is giving us and meeting right now, and if anybody is a prophet and knows what the Texas legislature is going to do, please, you know, buy me a lottery ticket. I'm ready to go.
I'm here every day, 5 to 6.
So, it's likely that some of the rules that we have that we can go after some matching money is likely to change. And so after September 1st, we won't be able to get all the matching money that we're going to. And so I think it's prudent. I think it's conservative. I think it's prudent. I think it's fiscally responsible for us to go after that money. And the only way for us to do that is to pass this bond election. Mm-hmm. Then we can go and use our money to leverage the state to potentially double what we have. Mm-hmm. Before the opportunity goes away
right,
from us.
Right. Do you foresee the recent news about the Expo Center? Do you envision...
Hold on. Time out. Any answers you get here, you're going to give us credit in the Avalanche Journal, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. Do you foresee... Go ahead.
Well, I guess I'm just curious if you think the Expo Center will have any impact on the vote. Because from the outside,
they sure seem
similar. And let me also say this... most people don't turn out during May elections. I'm hearing predictions of about 16,000 ballots are going to get cast.
It will be the only thing on the ballot in May.
For the city of Lubbock and Lubbock ISD, right?
Yeah, they won't have any items on the budget, items on the ballot.
Right.
So it will be the only thing on the ballot will be this bond election. But I'll say, if you're going to bring up the Expo Center, the issues of the Expo Center will still be with us in November as well. So just saying, well, we're going to put it off till we get the Expo Center straightened up. We're going to have those issues in November or next May as well. There will always be an issue coming up, and it doesn't matter what that issue is. The key is, when do you want safe, good roads? When do you want them? And I wanted them yesterday. I don't know about you, Jay.
20 years ago.
When
I was in the Big Ten waiting for all the dirt fog up behind opposing intersections.
We've got some serious safety issues out there that we need to deal with today. And so we're asking the people of Lubbock County to come alongside us. If we waited till November, there's going to be issues down the line, and we're just going to continually kick that can down the road. So from my perspective, and I'm like you, the people that I've talked to are not against the bond election. They're not against doing this for Lubbock County. It's just the timing of it. And so I'm here to say I believe the timing and the best time to do that is today.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but so the MPO is currently paying for engineering and design of Woodrow Road.
That's
right?
Correct. That's right. It just to tune about $2.6 million.
Right. Right. Okay. So
on a $35+ million project.
Right.
So we still got a lot more money to put into this.
And I guess the reason I ask that is because the soonest we would ever see construction cones is probably 2 years. I keep hearing 2 years.
And that would be correct, because that is the nature of how you do these things. But if we don't pass this bond election, it could be 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got these figured out here?
I think we're good. Jay, good to see you.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm just going to let you two talk amongst yourselves. No, but I'll tell you what. I give you full credit for this, Judge. Most politicians, when they see Dautre walk in, would say, hey, guys, during the break, get up, cordially say, okay, goodbye. You would. Most politicians would not stick around.
Well, you know, I come from a media background. And I do believe, and I believe this with all my heart, that the best government is an open, honest, and transparent government. And I do not mind. And if there's things I can't talk about, I'll tell you, I can't talk about them.
Ongoing investigation.
It's an ongoing investigation. I can't talk about it. But I think that's what I think that's what we should demand from the people who lead our government.
Yeah.
We demand answers. It may not be answers that we like, and it may not be answers that are suitable for the day, but we do demand answers. And I think from my years in media, I understand that. And so as county judge, I want to always be available to be open, honest, and transparent about your government. It's it's we the people. It's not me the government.
Dautre, just a couple of minutes left here.
Mm-hmm.
I should have just opened up and just left the room and said Dautre and the judge and let you guys, because it's
Dautre and the judge. It sounds like a bad sitcom.
It's great radio. What else we got coming down the pike?
I know there's a city council meeting tomorrow. I truthfully haven't looked at the council agenda.
The council is sitting back.
I know they love this. I know.
Yes.
Turn of events.
For sure. For sure.
So, council meeting tomorrow, bonds today,
mm-hmm.
also looking into medical examiner's office.
Yep, the expo center, that sign ordinance that I talked about last week, I'm working on that for this weekend.
Okay, tell us more about that.
No, we talked about it last week.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Just kind of the
new listeners every week. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Just the city of Lubbock has a very strict sign ordinance.
Yeah, for billboards.
Right, for billboards. But even like commercial properties, you know, they can't.
Uh-huh.
You don't see McDonald's with a, you know, 50-foot high, you know, sign in their parking lot. So it's, you know, it's a very conscious, very strict sign ordinance that gets brought up a lot because people, and I think there's an ongoing lawsuit. I mean, the billboard companies do not like it.
It is weird whenever you travel to other cities and then you come into Lubbock and you don't see those.
Right.
And the great Molly Ivins said Lubbock is 83.3% sky, and you still don't see billboards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But since we talked last week, I have been noticing them more around the Loop. There are quite a few around the Loop.
There are. I always see
one. And I think that's just
one.
Kind of it. You mentioned the one in South Lubbock. I noticed one in, like, on the West Loop this week.
Dude, the one at University in the Loop?
Right. Right. That's the hot spot, and that's a hot spot during political season too.
Yeah.
There, a lot of people put up their campaign.
Yeah,
I
can confirm, Judge, that you did not put up campaign ads on that particular billboard because
you are exactly correct.
Your opponent, so maybe it doesn't work. Okay, that's where we're gonna have to leave this one, Dautre. Good as always.
Thank you.
It was avid Red Raider fan, by the way.
Yeah.
Red Raider basketball.
And since
fan.
We talked last, we're on what, a 2-game win streak?
Yeah.
Did 15, you see the, number 15 in
right?
the nation.
Right, that's awesome.
We're boosting up.
Did you see the news
because
today?
I've not been to any of those games.
Really?
With the freshman getting
the Kayvon Moore, but he played 2 minutes. I don't understand why. I don't understand.
He's only played 2 minutes all season.
He played 2 minutes, yeah. So, you know, he was hurt, a leg injury. Everyone was kind of waiting. And we didn't know how good Kyler Edwards was going to be. That's a nice surprise. But he was more with
him. He's trying to take Williams's job.
this is just a promo. Yeah. I'm done.
Move over, Dom Williams. One texter saying the sign ordinance needs to be redone. It's good, but needs to be brought into the century.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Technology changes.
For sure.
Yeah. Let me pull it up real quick because I want to get your take on it. There was a dumpster fire at West Virginia. Let's switch over to sports with Matt Dautre for just a second. Dumpster fire at West Virginia, and the latest is that West Virginia has dismissed Issa Ahmad and Wesley Harris for violation of athletic department policies per the school.
Hmm.
So Bob Huggins, you know what? I'm glad that Bob Huggins isn't going to die in Lubbock County because...
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
He went there, didn't he?
Because Huggins is most likely going to go down with a heart attack, but the Lubbock County Medical Examiner would just say, yeah, it was a heart attack.
I want to get the judge's take on football. We have the voice of
absolutely, man.
Football
I'm excited about Red Raider football.
Are you?
Very much so.
We had Coach Yost on the show. Did you hear it?
Mr. Hair. What'd you think of his hair? Did you love it?
Coach Yost. Yeah,
he's,
man.
He's got great hair.
I led him with, if you and I walk into a bar, what am I buying you? And he went with Diet Coke. And yeah. I thought, that's a safe play.
Well,
it's a safe play.
I'm telling you, I like the way Coach Wells' team is out recruiting. They're recruiting amazingly well right now, especially. And I think it's, you know, we've heard over the years, oh, it's hard to recruit to Lubbock, impossible to recruit to Lubbock. And I think that that has been a falsehood. I think it's easy to recruit to Lubbock. Lubbock is a great community, and Texas Tech is a great university with a great football program, and recruits are really excited about coming to Lubbock to play football.
And if the judge says this in the midst of a red flag warning.
I was about to say, not today. My truck, you know, my truck barely made it on in the interstate.
You know what? That's you can talk about that, but what you want to be in California with all the wildfires? I don't think so. I'm perfectly happy in Lubbock, Texas.
Well enough said. Perfectly happy in West Texas and Lubbock, Texas. He is Judge Curtis Parrish, Avalanche Journal's Matt Dautre. You're going to sign off this edition of The Other Side. Good fan. Hey, you can doubt now. They told me today that we are on Spotify. So literally anywhere you can get a podcast, you can hear to this program. If you're just tuning in, just go plug into your phone, Other Side of Texas Podcast. You can download it anywhere now. Thanks for those of you who make this program possible and listen to it like you do. Sundays are our big day. Lots and lots of people listen on Sundays, catching up on the program. So they're going to hear us laugh pretty hard, or at least me laugh pretty hard over the course of this program. Appreciate both of you guys coming out. Going to get home. Got to get home. Great family. Above average dinner, especially because I'm Mr. Mom right now. Until next time, rave on, buddies. Rave on. We'll see you next edition of Other Side of Texas. Shipwreck on the mountain, rubbernecking all the outlaws. It's who we wanna be. Belly up and just fake it, and two step overrated. The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.